All right, Beach Grove, where are we going this morning? Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Bible, Old Testament, chapter 6, the fifth book of what we call the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible. They are all written by Moses. And we have Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I am going to read verses 20 through 25 out of the Old Testament book Deuteronomy. We all have our places? Amen. Sound good. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning and see what God's trying to teach us here. Starting with verse number 20. In the future, when your son asks you, "What is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you?" tell him, "We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised, an oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness." Let's pray. Father, it's wonderful that we can read the words of this Old Testament that we don't go to very often and see how even these words can be transforming in our lives today. So, Father, once again, I ask that your scriptures do your work, that your word will go out to each and every one of us, and your word will not come back void or empty. We thank you for the transformation that will take place in us. May it even be just a small one because of what your scriptures teach us today. We ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. This is week number 2 in our sermon series on the Ten Commandments. Last week we had a history lesson. We learned to whom the commandments were given, and we know that the Lord gave the commandments to Moses. Very good. And we learned where the commandments were given, and it was on a place called Mount Sinai. Very good. And this third one's a little bit tougher, when they were given, because the Bible really never clearly tells us this. But if we do some math and we do some archaeology and things like that, it was around 1440 BC that the commandments were given to Moses there at Mount Sinai. And we do know that after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, that it was about 3 to 4 months after that crossing that the Israelites and Moses received those Ten Commandments. We got to remember this because this is a good foundational point, that the Israelites were living in Egypt for years and years and years, hundreds of years. It was Egypt, remember, is a pagan nation, and these Israelites were living among these pagan people who were worshiping pagan gods. So we need to ask, and this is a great question to ask, how much did the Israelites actually know about the one true God? At least up until he started to reveal himself to them. Why was the history lesson from last week important? Three things. Because it tells us three truths about God. Number one, God always fulfills his prophecy, because he prophesied to Abraham in Genesis 15 that the Israelites would be slaves in a foreign land for 400 years. That prophecy came true. Number two, God always keeps his promises. His covenant promise to Abraham, "Your seed will be like as numerous as the sands on the seashore, and God will give Abraham and his descendants this promised land." Because of these two things, we know this. God is a God that can be trusted. And that's what we kind of concluded from last week. He is a God that can be trusted. Today we're going to focus on the third truth about that history lesson. And that was this. We also learned this last week. God will always make a provision for his people. So that's where we're going to go today. Okay, so the prophecy came true. The Israelites are now out of slavery. And we know that the promise is about to come true. We know the Israelites are going to wander for 40 years in the desert, but they will eventually inhabit the promised land. But where is the provision? Where is the provision? Now, let me make some suggestions here. Is the provision the manna that comes down, that's on the ground every morning, 6 days out of seven? Well, that is a provision, but not the one that I'm going to talk about today. Is the provision the quail that falls from the skies on a regular basis and gives them meat to eat? Well, that is a provision, but still not the one that I'm going to talk about. Is the provision the fact that their clothing and their shoes do not ever wear out in the 40 years that they're wandering in the desert? Well, that is a great provision, but that's not, again, the one that I'm going to talk about here this morning. All right, Mike, so then what is the provision? Because those were three great provisions. The provision is the law in the Ten Commandments. Are you saying that the law and the Ten Commandments are a provision from God to his people? Well, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Then you ask the next question. What provision could there possibly be in the Ten Commandments? Here's some questions, more questions you might be asking. Are not the Ten Commandments just a set of rules, a set of do these things and don't do these other things? After all, who wants rules? The Israelites just come out of slavery and now they get more rules from a God that they don't even know? To me, the Ten Commandments sound more like shackles than what they do provision. Well, I certainly want to explain this morning how they are a provision. And I'm going to do that by beginning by reading a passage out of the book of Isaiah. I'm going to read a little bit out of Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 11. And you don't have to read along with me. You can just listen as I read these words. Very familiar words because I read this passage quite often. So how are the commandments a provision? Well, let's start with this verse from Isaiah. God's saying this to the people through the prophet Isaiah. As for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I'm going to use that as a basis for explaining how the Ten Commandments are a provision to the people and to us. We will know, and we do understand, that the Ten Commandments are part of God's Word, right? This is God's Word, and within the Word of God, we do find the Ten Commandments. God has spoken the Ten Commandments to Moses. We know that. The Ten Commandments, in some way, shape, or form, are never going to return to God empty or void. The Ten Commandments are going to accomplish God's desire and God's purpose. So what is that purpose? If we can figure out the purpose, we'll figure out the provision. And I believe once we identify their purpose, we're never going to look at the Ten Commandments in the same way again. And we're going to realize just how much of a provision they really are. Let's go to some New Testament scripture. Romans 3:10 tells us that no one is righteous, not one. Right? We'll agree with that. No one is righteous. We know that. Romans 3:10. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there we have two statements that pretty much say the same thing. No one is righteous, and we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So let me ask a series of rhetorical questions to my family here at Beech Grove. Are we all sinners here today? Yes, we are. Let me ask the next rhetorical question. Every person that ever walked the face of this earth from Jesus up until now, were they all sinners? Yes, they were. How about every person that ever walked the face of the earth from Moses up until the time of Jesus? Were they sinners? Yes, they were. Let's go back a little bit further. How about every person that walked the face of the earth from Abraham up until Moses? Were they all sinners? Yes, they were. One more. How about from Adam all the way to Abraham? Were all those people sinners too? Yes, because they all fall into the same category of that all have fallen short. First, fill in the blank. We got to know this. We got to understand this to realize how much the Ten Commandments are going to be a provision to his people. Fill in the blank number one. Therefore, everyone is a sinner regardless of when they lived. That's our first fill in the blank. Or what knowledge of sin they may have had. Regardless of when they lived or what knowledge of sin they may have had. Romans 2:12 supports that truth and says this. For all who sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and those who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Allow me to explain fill in the blank number one with a hypothetical story. Hypothetical, this is not story time with Pastor Mike. This is just a hypothetical made-up story about two people. About two people. Wally and Sally. Wally and Sally. Wally and Sally love the great outdoors. They love to hike. They like to go walking, find new places to hike and to walk and just explore and discover nature. They just love doing it. Well, one day, Wally is out in his car on his day off looking for a place to go hiking. And he's driving along and he sees this great parcel of land. And he says, I've never been there before. That looks like a great place to hike and explore. So he pulls his car over and he parks it and he locks it. And he gets out of his car and makes sure he has on the right clothing and shoes and goes into this area of land that he's never been before. And he starts exploring and hiking through this land. Wally is into this about 20 minutes when all of a sudden, pow! Wally gets shot. All right. Years later, Sally, she's a hiker too. Sally wants to go hiking. And Sally's in driving her car, and we all know what kind of car Sally drives, right? Drives a Mustang. So Sally's driving her 1965 Mustang, and she finds this parcel of land. Just so happens to be the same parcel of land Wally found. And she finds it very attractive and she says, I think I would like to go walking in there. So Sally parks her Mustang and gets out and locks the car and makes sure she has the right clothes on. But as she's walking up to the land, she notices something. There's a sign there. And the sign says, no trespassing. Violators will be shot. Sally thinks about it for a second. Sally turns around, gets back in her Mustang, and finds another place to go hiking. In the story, we see the same piece of property under two different conditions. And you probably recognize that one difference between Wally and Sally is that Wally was not aware that there was a law about trespassing on the land because there was no signs posted. But Sally was. There was a sign. Sally saw the signs and based her decisions on what was written on the signs. No trespassing. Poor Wally. Wally did not have the luxury of having signs posted, and poor Wally suffered the consequences. And I know what you're thinking right about now. Some will argue that Wally did not know that there was a law about walking on that land. Therefore, Wally should not be held responsible. It's just not fair. Let's learn an important truth about God here this morning. The analogy of the story is this. God is the landowner. God does not have to be fair. Let me say that again. God does not have to be fair. God has to be God. He doesn't owe anyone anything. He doesn't owe anybody an explanation. He doesn't owe anybody a sign, and he doesn't owe anybody a warning. It's his land and it's his rules. And in this story, God exercised his right to be just against Wally. And he has every right to do so. And that truth is backed up by Romans chapter 1, which says that God has made himself known to all of us. Therefore, since we have all been made known by God, we are without excuse. Man is without excuse. Let's do a little bit of Bible history. The people on the face of the earth at the time of Noah suffered the wrath of God through a global flood because, the Bible says, of their sin and their wickedness. And they had no posted signs. The people in Sodom and Gomorrah suffered the wrath of God because of their sin and wickedness, the Bible says. And they had no posted signs. Wally suffered the wrath of the landowner. And God was just in doing so. The Bible never says anywhere that God has to be fair. He just has to be God. Now, how does all this apply to the Ten Commandments? Well, I hope by this time through that little analogy and that story, you're beginning to connect the dots of how the Ten Commandments are a provision to God's people. If not, let me use another analogy. And I brought some props with me, something I very rarely ever do. I have here in front of me a prescription bottle with something in it. There is something in here. But you notice something about this prescription bottle?
No, what? Label.
There's no label. There's no label. There's no sign. There's no warning. You have no idea what's inside this bottle. But the world is telling you to take it. Take what's inside this bottle. And you take what's inside this bottle because you believe the world, because you really want to take what's inside here. Actually, once you take what's inside here, you like taking what's inside here. You have no idea what harm you might be bringing upon yourself by taking these pills. But on the other hand, nor do you care. No label, no sign. Well, so I assume there's no consequences. You're daring me, aren't you? However, God takes the bottle and he places a label on it, telling us what's inside and the consequences of what's inside. Wow. Now I know. Because now I have been told. What I didn't know before, I know now. How does God provide for his people? God is providing for his people by putting up signs and attaching labels. Because he wants us to know. What does he want us to know? Four more truths about him. We have four more fill in the blanks in our bulletin. What is God trying to get across to us by putting up that sign and putting these labels on these bottles? Fill in the blank number two. Whatever the standards may have been in Egypt are now null and void. The true God is about to make himself known to his people. Regardless of what they may have ever known about the pagan gods or whatever Egypt had to offer, forget about it. There's a new sheriff in town and his name's the true God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that God cares so much for his people that he would even reveal himself to them? Fill in the blank number three, the second truth we learn about labels and signs. The Ten Commandments provided God's people with the knowledge that the God that they serve has standards for righteous, moral living. He has standards. He has standards for how the people are supposed to behave, how they're supposed to act. The people now go from being a Wally into being a Sally. They go from driving some car to a 65 Mustang. And that's good news, my friends. There's now signs posted. The no trespassing sign is now posted, and they can see that. Why is that wonderful? Because God cares so much for his people, you and I, and the Israelites, that he would post the sign of the Ten Commandments to protect them. Remember, God does not have to be fair. He doesn't have to do any of this. Fill in the blank number four. The Ten Commandments provided God's people with the knowledge of their sin. With the knowledge of their sin. If this is sin inside this bottle, and I'm tempting you to take it, I can give you this bottle that has nothing on it, and you can take your chances. Or I can give this one to you. Here, Greg, take this one, and what can Greg do? Greg can read the label. The people now go, God's people now go from a no-label bottle to one that has warnings and consequences written all over it. Isn't that wonderful? That God cares so much for his people that he would attach a label full of warnings to protect them from themselves. Which leads us to our fifth and final fill in the blank about the Ten Commandments being a provision. The Ten Commandments provided God's people with the knowledge that the God that they serve is a God of mercy. He's a God of mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. That's mercy. Justice is when you get what you deserve. God would be perfectly right and within his own character if he never put up a sign or never put a warning label on a bottle. God could simply just condemn each and every one of us that ever walked the face of this earth for our sins that we commit. But he decided to be merciful and make us aware of our sin and put a label on a bottle. The bottom line is this. How do we look at the Ten Commandments? We can either look at the Ten Commandments as slavery. Do this and don't do this. Or we can look at the Ten Commandments as freedom. We can look at it from man's point of view as rules and laws that do nothing more than place boundaries and limits and shackles on a person. Or we can look at the Ten Commandments from God's point of view, a God-centered theology, as an act of mercy to us, to humankind, who really deserve, and each and every one of us really deserve, the pits of hell for our sin and for our wickedness. Wow. The Ten Commandments are God's provision to his people. They are warnings clothed in God's mercy. And we must look at them in that light as we go forward and start explaining what the 10 of them mean to us. Next week, we're going to look at God's continuing mercy as we look at the 10 commandments as part of this entire law given to Moses. And I know what I told you last week, that week number 3, we get into the first one. We just can't get there yet. You know me. You got to build the foundation of what they're all about. Because once we do that, they'll mean a whole lot more to us. Let's pray.